Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to each and every one. Trust you had a glorious day as well as a glorious week so far. We do thank and praise the Lord for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I don't know about you, but I made a decision long time ago. I can rejoice and be glad in every day because in Christ we have the victory. Even though you have to learn how to walk in the victory that he's won, but once you come into the knowledge and the understanding of it, you can experience the victory that Christ has won, not without opposition. That's why I said you have to learn. But we thank and praise the Lord for this day. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I am so glad you tuned in to the broadcast. We do give honor to the Trinity, and we give honor to Apostle Armstrong because he is the one that found this broadcast as well as the founder as well as the one that supported. So there too, again, we just thank and praise the Lord. And I thank and praise the Lord. We've been in a series of teaching about the fear of the Lord. Have you ever heard, I hear a lot of people, especially ministers, that people just don't fear the Lord like they used to. Well, I found out that what you teach on, that's what people going to have faith in and have knowledge of. The Bible said faith come by hearing the word of God. So I think these are some things you have to teach on, because when I went back, when I think about when I first got saved, it was all about Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong, it's still all about Jesus, but it have been times in my life the Holy Spirit have to remind me how I was when I got saved and I didn't continue and I wasn't persisted in some of the things and how I began to allow myself, I began to allow trials and tribulation and persecution and temptation, all of that, we can allow it to affect or interfere with our relationship with the Lord. And that's why Jesus said in John 8, he said, you have to continue in my word. He was talking to those that believe in him. He said, you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One translation said, to set you free, one to make you free. But there too, again, the thing is, we got to keep the word of God before us. I've been listening at a series of teaching from Gloria Copeland and Pastor George Pierce, and they've been talking about a strong spirit. And I tell you, I might do some teaching on it myself, because I'm finding out, as I tell people, Christianity is a lifestyle. It's a way of living. Don't live save one day, and the next day you don't. But here's a continual lifestyle. Christianity is also a relation between you and your Creator. Well, that Jesus summed the 10th commandment up into two, loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. When we make our priority, when we make our relationship with God a priority, and putting God first, it makes a difference in every aspect of your life. It's like Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 33rd verse, very familiar passage of scripture, but I found out, even though he said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Well, when you go and read the first 32, they talking about the necessary things of life in that chapter. And I found out a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll put the necessary thing before our relationship with God and God's laws and principles, and it'll cause you to miss out. But as I stated, we've been talking about the fear of the Lord, because when we fear God, we'll keep his commandments. And it's not talking about scared of God, but it means to reverence him for who he are and what he have done for each one of us. John said on one occasion, he said, the commandments of God is not burdensome. Jesus said in the gospel, he said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So take my yoke upon you to learn of me. And there too, again, the more you get in the word and get the knowledge about who God is, what God requires from us, it makes a difference in your life. The Bible tells us in the last days that those that do not love truth, God will send a strong delusion and they'll believe a lie. Paul said in the last days, he said this to Timothy, he said that many going to depart from the faith. So that means that they once were walking with the Lord, they was walking in faith, and they were seduced. Y'all, we live in a fallen world, and that's something that we have to allow the Holy Ghost to help us in the spirit realm as well as the natural. And the Holy Spirit, the only one can bring balance. We have our spirit that we can relate to God and we can address and understand things in the spirit. We have our flesh, so we can relate to things in the physical realm. So there too, again, as I stated, we've been talking about the fear of the Lord. It's many scriptures in the Bible talking about the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. One translation said the fear of the Lord is to have knowledge. The Bible tells us in one scripture, if you fear the Lord will reveal his secrets to you. And there too, again, when we really, if you have left and lost the fear of the Lord, you need to receive it back. And you can repent and just acknowledge to the Lord, Lord, I just don't reverence you and fear you. I don't make you a priority. Your words is not the final authority in my life. I was reading in Matthew, the 7th chapter, he said, many going to say to me, Lord, Lord, did I do great things in your name? I cast out devils. I did this. I did that. But he going to tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. And that in the Greek means you never was intimate with me. You didn't have a relationship with me. I think all of us know what it's like to have a relationship or be in a relationship with somebody. I think everybody done experienced that. And it makes a difference when you have a relationship through that union. What the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 chapter, he said, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Well, when you, by that, the only way we can get strong in God is to get in his word and get knowledge and understanding and revelation about what God requires from us. So there too, again, as I stated, we've been talking about the fear of the Lord. But I kind of sensed the other week God began to tell me to talk about a Christian conduct, our behavior, how we as Christians are supposed to conduct ourselves in the time or in this fallen world that we living in. And we're going to ask you that have your Bibles, we want you to go back to, we started out in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. That was the foundation scripture. Hebrews the 2nd chapter, first verse. And it was telling us that we need to pay earnest heed to the things that we hear, lest at any time we let them slip. Well, the writer was letting the people know that we need to take the message of God serious. Like I said, we live in a time that some people don't take the message of the word of God serious like they used to. That means that they drift from the seriousness of God, you know. So there too, again, we want to continue. We stopped and you have your Bibles. We're going to go back to the 2nd chapter. We're going to go back to 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. And 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, I think it's the 11th verse. We're going to continue there because there's a lot in here. And Peter is the author of 1 Peter and 2nd Peter. But there too, again, we're going to talk about our behavior, the way we supposed to conduct ourselves in a fallen world. And I found out because the world is getting worse, that don't change the laws and principles and what God call us as born-again believers, how we supposed to conduct ourselves. And I thank God for it. And I thank God for even this teaching, because what it do, every time I go back and read it, even God giving me a message, it just caused me to renew my mind on what God said, and it strengthened us. It strengthened us, you know. And so we're going to start with that, and we're going to go back to First Peter, as I said. This foundation scripture was in Hebrews, the second chapter, first and second verse of Hebrews, the second chapter. And like I said, we need to take the Word of God serious. Anything that we take serious or have value, something to have value in, we treat it different. And that's the thing about, if you find yourself getting to the point you don't want to read the Word, you don't want to meditate on the Word, and you don't allow other things to get your attention, I would advise you, you need to repent and get back in the Word. Now, I'm a strong believer. Some people don't believe this, but this is my conviction. The enemy, I believe I can be influenced by the Spirit of God just like I can be influenced by the spirit of the enemy. But as I get in the Word of God and read the Word and keeping my mind renewed, I can be able to discern which is which. Now, some people don't believe that. That's not their conviction. Guess what? I don't debate with you about that. But I'm talking from my own personal experience and my own conviction. And there, too, again, if you go to First Peter, the second chapter, and if you read the first three verses, if you read the first three verses, Peter is talking about, he's talking about really having a strong desire or having a hunger for God's word. He was talking about the saints need to mature. They need to be more mature. They need to grow up. And we still have some Christian in the body of Christ, they're easy to get offended. They allow their emotion to dominate them. Come on, somebody. And there, too, again, his reason why God would have us to grow. Now, in 1 Peter, the second chapter, if I'm not making a mistake, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, in that second and third verse, Peter is talking about how we need, how grace and peace be multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God in Jesus our Lord. And he goes to say, according as God, his divine power, have given, that's past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Now, since God have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness, where everybody that reads your Bible, you know when Jesus said it was finished. Well, that means everything that the enemy did, or the enemy stole, Jesus had conquered and got it back through his come, dead, buried, and resurrection. Apostle Paul also said on one occasion that thanks be to God through Christ that caused us to always triumph. And there too again, just because these scriptures said that, we have to know how to walk in these scriptures, how to let the Word of God, how we need to embrace the Word and allow the Word of God to affect our life. There too, there is important. And that's why I was saying in 1 Peter, like I said, in 1 Peter, the second chapter, Peter is talking about how we need to desire the sincere Word of God so that we can grow by thereof. But he was dealing with the flesh. He was dealing with really your unrenewed mind. And he said in that Peter, the second chapter, in that first verse, he said, wherefore, lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. These are things he was relating to there to our mind. He was dealing with our mind. How, and see, as I tell people a lot of times, when you first get saved, we got a new spirit. We got a new nature, but we have to do something with that soul. And I find out a lot of my problem is coming from the soul, the unrenewed soul. That's how the enemy get the ups on a lot of things, because if you don't renew your mind and keep your mind renewed, Paul even said it, and Romans, he said, I beseech you, brethren, and I think it's Romans the 12th chapter. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, which is holy, which is accepted in the perfect will of God. But he tell us, he said, don't be conformed to this world. Or better yet, if you haven't renewed your mind and you're a born again believer, you're going to find yourself referring back to that. Remember when after Jesus was crucified, disciples went back to fishing. They went back to what they formerly did before they came to be Jesus' disciples and his apostles. And any time we don't be consistent and renewing our mind, if we ain't careful, we're going to find ourselves going back to the former lifestyle, the mindset. Come on. Some people even go back to the former lifestyle, not understanding that renewing our mind is our responsibility. That's not God. But we're supposed to read the word. It's just like, for example, you get a job. Well, now, when I was working on a full-time job, I had to go through training. And both of the jobs that I did in two different companies, but it was for like 6 weeks training to learn how to operate a machine, because that's what I did. But even in the one when I was working at Scott Aviation with the oxymask, I still had to be trained how to fold the mask and package them, and so they can be sealed up, so I could go. So when they put them in the airplane, and they, one of the first things they would do, they'll show you how to use that mask. So if you ever need to use it, but there too again, we had to be trained. They take you through the steps of how to use it. Well, on a job, it's the same way. Well, when we get born again, if you done lived majority of your life and you wasn't saved, but even the time that you wasn't saved, your soul was used to taking orders from your flesh. So, like I said, there too again, you have to get saved. Now, I'm going to read that also. Anybody know me lately? I like the Living Bible. And y'all, we're going to go a little deeper in 1 Peter, the second chapter. God let me know. He said, don't be so quick to move from it. It's some more that we can chew on. Come on, somebody. Not only that, but here's some more that we can meditate on. I find out, don't never let the enemy have you believing that you don't receive all the revelation from one chapter or one book of the Bible. That is not true. I think whenever we leave this earth, it'll be still some things that we don't know. But in the Amplify, it was telling us, so be done with every trace of weakness, depravity, malignity, and all deceit and insecurity, pretend, hypocrisy, grudges, evil, jealous, and slander, evil speaking of every kind. He was telling us, and I found out, when it come down to being saved, and some people might say, oh, your teaching is elementary. It might, but some people done fell back in it, you know. And there too, again, the Holy Spirit know where all of us at. Sometimes if you just go back when you first got saved, the standards that you lived by, you didn't compromise them. You were steadfast in the faith. So I might go back and find it, you know. I used to walk in the fear of the Lord, but, you know, it's not there anymore. I used to be consistent when it come down to the word of God. I used to be steadfast in what I said. I used to watch what come out of my mouth. I used to fast. I used to pray. And just like Hebrews, the second chapter, well, I got away from all of it. And see, there too again, I find out when it come down to the things of God, you have to be consistent. I would listen at some teaching, and I'm always listening at teaching of some sort all the time, either I'm reading my Bible. And this minister was talking about consecration. And I found out is the Lord showed me. He said a lot of times, y'all want to see the power in the demonstration, but you don't want to live a consecrated life. Jesus said in St. John, the 17th chapter, that we need to sanctify our word through the truth. Which, see, Christianity, one of the things about a Christian, we supposed to be set apart from the world. We are the light of the world. We supposed to show the world what God would require from them. We supposed to be the example of it. And, you know, we're living in a time now that a lot of people even say, well, they call themselves, but they do this other word. They don't regard the things of God. They don't cause the word of God to be final authority in their life. But as I tell people what God taught me, I got to die for me. That's why I thank and praise the Lord. In the book of Philippians, the Bible said, let every man work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. God done made this thing an individual thing. You got to work yours out. I got to work mine out. Jesus said in the full gospel, if you're going to follow after me, let him deny himself. I was talking to one of my spiritual sons, and he is a prophet, and I operate. I'm a prophet as well. I call it an apostolic prophet because I'm an apostle, but I operate and I walk in the office of a prophet as well. But I found out that a lot of people, and we got to be very cautious because according to Matthew 24, we're living in a time of great deception. And Jesus said it's going to be many false prophets and they're going to lead many astray. They're going to deceive many. So we have to be careful. A lot of people, they depend on prophecy. People don't know you have to do warfare for prophecy. They're always expecting God to speak through a prophet. Now, up under the old covenant, I was sharing with my son in the gospel, up under the old covenant, because the Holy Spirit hadn't came, a lot of people had to inquire of the prophets of what God was saying, what God required from them. Where in this new covenant, you don't have to always be going to a prophet for a prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You don't have to do that. The Bible tells us in Matthew, the 4th chapter, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeded out the mouth of God. God then said we're supposed to live by prophecy. Prophecy is good for his when you need to have one. But don't never allow yourself to always want somebody to tell you we in the dispensation of Christ, we in a new covenant with better promise, and Jesus has made it possible that you and I, we can get in the word of God and we can read it for ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding. Ask the Holy Ghost to bring the knowledge, understand. Help me to understand this. Holy Spirit, unfold this word. We supposed to point people to God, not to one another. And we got to know that because the enemy would use that to mislead. So I tell people, I told this prophet, I said, what you need to do, get in the word of God. Read that word. Find out what the word say. So when God do give you a prophecy, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge for somebody, you yourself would know how to judge it, to see whether it came from God or not. So that's why I say it's so important that we need to read the word for ourselves. And like I said, I'm not going to just read all of this because I want to go into to some more another part of the Bible talking about our behavior. But there too, again, as I was saying, he was telling them that they need to crave and for the word of God. They need to go on from drinking milk to eating meat, to develop more maturity, because we have a lot of offenses going on in the body. There's a lot of strife. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of backbite. That's all signs of the flesh and immaturity. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, I could not give you a strong meat, he said, because you were carnal-minded Christian. Other words, they were saved. But if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul is confessing the 1 Corinthians. He's talking about they were saved, but they were still allowing their flesh to dominate them because they hadn't renewed their mind. And y'all, this is a forever, better yet, a continued thing. We have to continue to renew our mind with the word. The word of God have the ability, or better yet, the power to help us to keep our flesh under submissive to the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? And it help this soul. So soul will either get with the spirit, whatever the one is strong. He'll get with the flesh, or he'll get with the spirit, or with the spirit. That's what the flesh does. But the word of God will help us. Now I'm going to drop down to the 11th verse, and this is from the Amplified. And this is what Paul was talking about. He said, He said, beloved, I implore you as aliens and strangers and exile in this world to obtain from the senior utterance, the evil desire, the passion of the flesh, your lower nature that wage war against the soul. Now, that when I read that, that just spoke volume to me. Because our flesh have a mind and desire. It still wants us to yield to it. And if you went to Galatians, the 5th chapter, let's do that. Let me show you. In Galatians, as I said, we're still talking about your conduct. You know how we as Christians are supposed to be. We're not supposed to be yielding ourselves to the flesh. Flesh desires. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, you know, I have a thing, and one thing I believe in, putting your eyes on it. Amen. I'm a strong believer in that. You need to put your eyes on it. You need to see what the words say. You know, a lot of times we'll say, well, I don't need that. Well, that's fine if you don't. But you need to put your eyes on. And in Galatians 5 and 17, where we're in that 16 verse, and Paul was still, where he the author of Galatians, the 5th chapter, he was telling the saints in that 5th chapter, but they supposed to be steadfast in the liberty that Christ delivered them. A lot of them had kind of got away because some were telling them that before you can be in Christ, you had to circumcise yourself. He was letting them know in this new covenant, we don't have to do that. Our heart has to be circumcised, and that's spiritually. The Holy Spirit will circumcise our heart. He'll give us the nature. He'll give us the Spirit of God on the inside of us. That's why Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things are new. But we still have to renew and keep our mind renewed. But Paul said in Galatians 5, in that 16th verse, he said, this I say, well, better yet, let me look at, we're going to start at that 13th verse, Galatians 5 and 13. As I said, put your eyes on it. Because after we get born again, please hear me. You and I have a responsibility, and that is to read the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God, and be a doer of the Word. Now, some people say once you get saved, well, you ain't got to do that. Listen, I'm saved by faith, not by my works. But after I get saved, what I do after I get saved, based upon being a hearer and a doer of God's word, that lets you know, my works let you know I am saved. But I didn't get saved by my works. But my works after I get saved let you know I am saved. One of them, when I'm loving my enemy, bless them that curse me, and I'm walking in the forgiveness, that's a sign. As John the Baptist said on one occasion, you need to have fruit of repentance. A lot of people say, well, I walk in forgiveness. I done did this in the Lord. Well, you supposed to show works of repentance. Ah, come on, somebody. But anyway, in Galatians, the 5th chapter, in that, starting at that 13th verse, and this is good for us because it go along with what we've been talking about, our behavior. We supposed to walk in the spirit. Well, walking in the spirit, let's keep it simple. Walking in the spirit means you are a doer of what you read. Come on, somebody. You don't just say it. And he said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. This is Apostle Paul, this Galatians 5:13. He said, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh. He talking about flesh desires. You know, see, flesh shall have you walk over yourself for bitterness and resentment, want to get even with somebody or want to take vengeance. Come on, see, flesh like that. But when we can keep the flesh in its place when our spirit man is strong, when we meditate and choose and do to what the word say. Come on, somebody. Oh, this is good. Like I said, we still talking about behave, and this is what Peter was saying in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in that 11th verse, he was talking about how we supposed to act once we get saved. Are you following what I'm saying? I want you to see this, because like I said, some saints done slip. You got some, they using profanity. You got some, they walking in unforgiveness. They walking in bitterness. They walking in hatred. Someone called me earlier today, and they was telling me how this certain person was standing up in the church and was dishonoring their apostle, saying all types of things too. That's somebody that is ignorant of what the word say. That's somebody that don't walk in the reverence and fear God. Because I'm going to talk about that when you go to Romans 13, how we supposed to conduct ourselves to govern authority as well as the authority in the church. And see, the word of God will tell us what and how we supposed to behave as Christians. And I'm telling you, as the time goes closer for Jesus, y'all, we got to do it more. But listen, a lot of people don't realize when you make up in your mind to live the way that is written, live the way God will have you to live, live according to what the words say, and you don't compromise the standards of the laws and principles of God for the government, people, you're going to suffer the consequences. And I don't know about you, I don't like to be rejected, but I find out that come with it. As a walking in the, as a prophet, you know, people gonna reject me. I'm gonna be resisted by people. The enemy gonna give them every reason under the sun to reject. Where did Jesus said in the gospel, if every to the false prophet will reject the prophets of the old was rejected. He said, if everybody love you, something wrong with that picture. If somebody going to reject you, that's a sign of a true prophet. But I find out, as I stated, we live in a time, a lot of people think that the fivefold minister gift that Jesus gave the apostles, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, this is not luxury. It's not luxury being a Christian. Now, I don't know where some people get it from. Now, it's a blessing in being a Christian. First, I know I'm going to heaven for all eternity. But on this earth, the rejection, the persecution, the false accusation, all of us, I experienced that. And the Holy Spirit have to help me and enable me with the power, the grace to endure, to overcome it without bitterness and resentment in my heart. Now, that's why sometimes I listen to people. I don't know what they act like being a Christian is the luxury. Ain't no luxury about it to me. You know, because the persecution, the temptation, all of that stuff, we have to know how to endure it and overcome it and walk as Christ on this earth. Okay? But anyway, like I said, I want you to see that we in Galatians 5 and 13. I'm reading from the King James Version. And he said, for brother, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh. What do you mean? Because flesh still want to dominate. The outward man want to dominate the inner man, which is the spirit. It still want to do. And guess what? If you allow your flesh, it will do it. Oh, hear me, please. If you allow your flesh, if I allow my flesh will dominate the spirit. And that's why if your spirit man is strong, you got to keep your spirit man strong by reading the word, meditating on the word, doing what the word, if it's strong, when the opportunity presents itself, you would be able to stand. That's why Paul said, be strong in the Lord, and the power is might. Once translated, so be strong in that union, your relationship with the Lord. Because evil comes to all of us, and that's why he said, we ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. A lot of times, the enemy will have you to fight against one another. He don't want you to know that that person being influenced by him or that flesh dominating that person or that person don't know who they is in Christ. He don't want you to know none of that. Y'all listen. Just like God reared, the devil reared too, but he's defeated. He don't want us to know he defeated. So he, his number one goal is to get us to don't believe and rebel against what God's word say. That's when he can dominate us. But anyway, I'm talking about the flesh. Okay, so but by love, serve one another. For all the laws is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. See, there too again, Paul talking about the spirit, and he talking about the flesh. And he's talking about how we as born-again believers supposed to conduct ourselves, how we supposed to behave on this earth. We not supposed to act like the sinner. And guess what? It's grace. Now, one definition of grace is the favor of God. But I like this, the second part of it. It talk about that we in grace is God empowering us with the ability to do what God say do if we will to do it. But you got to want to. You got to know how to deny your flesh. All of us have the opportunity that we can use profanity. I don't think it's nobody exempted. The opportunity will show up. The opportunity might come up that you can walk in bitterness and resentment. But because of we saved and because of grace is available to us, we can say no and we can walk in forgiveness. And that's something I think a lot of saints wrestle with it. You have to make up in your mind, I'm going to do what God say. I'm not only going to believe this word, but I'm going to be a doer of this word. Amen? But he's going to say, and then he said, this I say, in the 16th verse, this I say, then walk in the spirit. He come out the word, obey, being led by the Holy Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A lot of times you hear the word lust, most times they think it's sexual sin. Not true. That means a desire to want to walk in, to have your way, to walk in bitterness, resentment, jealousy, comfort, all of that's from the flesh. That's what flesh like to do. I have a new nature. I have a new man on the inside. I still have my flesh. Well, some people use the term, I'm still human. Yes, we still human, but we do not have to obey the flesh. That's what he was talking to them about. That's why he was telling them, because like I said, a lot of them in the 5th chapter, they were delivered from the law by being circumcised, but now they were trying to get the Gentiles to believe the only way you can serve, you got to be circumcised. That ain't true. They were talking about the flesh. No, we supposed to be circumcised in the spirit realm. And so he was trying to confuse, but he went on to start talking about the flesh and how it happened. That's why we have to be careful. And then he's going to tell him, he said, 16 verse, I'm in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. He talking about being led by the spirit. But if we led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Then he talk about, he used 19, 20, and 21. We're not going to go through all of that. Through 21, he talk about the work of the flesh. Now, y'all, this epistle is written to Christians. This wasn't written to the sinners. That's why when you read the epistle, they telling us how we supposed to walk after we've been born again. After we don't receive the Holy Ghost, the way we supposed to live on this earth, our lifestyle, how we talk, all of that, how we supposed to treat one another, all of this is in there. And I thank God for it. It said, and I'm going to read a few notes, the spiritual conflict within the believer involves the totality of his person as he struggles to determine whether he will wholly surrender to the inclination. Whether he will wholly surrender to inclination of the flesh, the sinful nature, or return to the dominion of sin, or whether he will yield to the demand of the Holy Spirit. That's why you find some saints, they backslide because they don't renew their mind, they don't continue in the Word of God. And the next thing you know, they go back to living and doing what they used to do after they get saved. And like I said, this is what happened to those disciples. After Jesus was crucified, what did they do? They went back. I really wanted to get in Romans the 14th chapter, but we're going to get in that. but I'm just being led by the Spirit. But like I say, I like for you to put your eyes on it. I don't want to just say, well, this one, no, you need to put your eyes on it. Listen, you don't have no weapon that fight with the enemy with if you don't know what's written. Jesus' number one weapon in Matthew, the fourth chapter, when the enemy came against him, when he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, and all of, if you notice, all of those temptations came to his flesh. But he overcome it because his spirit man was strong, and he kept saying what was written. And y'all, temptation come to all of us. And the way you and I are going to overcome these temptations is with what is written. Now, I'm going to read a little bit. I'm going to read a little bit from the Amplify, and we in Galatians, I just read, I'm going to drop down, I'm going to read from the Amplify, Galatians 5 and 13 from the Amplify. And this is what the Amplify, starting at that 13 verse, Galatians 5 and 13, it said, "For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh, and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness, but through love you should serve one another. For the whole law concerning human relationship is compiled within the one precept, you should love your neighbor as you do yourself. But if you bite and devour one another," and part of it, "scribe, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk, live happily in the Holy Spirit, responding and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify a craving and desire of the flesh or human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh is opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. Godless human nature. For these, and see, there too, he would let you know that these fight against one another. And like I said, this epistle, Galatians, it was not written to the sinners. And we as saints need to realize that. The epistles tell us how we supposed to live on this earth after we get saved and receive Jesus, our Lord and Savior, receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, they the same thing. Some people debate about that. I ain't debating about that. Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is the same in the Bible. But there too again, I'm talking about how our flesh and all of us, I don't think nobody exempted. We attempted to go back to the former, in some areas and some were former attempted to go back and do the same thing, say the same thing, to act well, but there's no victory in that. Victory is only in serving God. Now, some people, I think I was tempted about 3 times since I've been saved to give up. I never was tempted to the point to give up living right, but I didn't want to preach no more. I didn't want to, walk in the office of a prophet due to the resistance that I was receiving from people, the rejection and all of that stuff. Some of the things, that's what I don't want to be no prophet. God, I just want to be saved. I just want to live right. Don't say nothing to nobody. Don't bother nobody, you know. But that did not. That wasn't the way, that did not excuse me, excuse me from fulfilling, because I was going to give an account of it. But like I said, I want you to see this for each other, continue withstanding in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented doing what you desire. But if you guide, lead, I'm in 18 verse, Galatians, I'm in that Amplify, Galatians 5 and 18, but if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law, not doing the practice. Like I said, it'll be giving you a list of the note when your flesh is in operation. Some people say, well, when you get saved, you ain't got to worry about the flesh. I ain't going to go for it and say you got to worry about it, but you need to think. Your flesh still going to try to war against you, the spirit man. But he said, when you walk in the Spirit, other words, when you listen and letting the Holy Spirit lead you, then that's where it take a different course. Now, and to again, as I say, well, I'm going to be able to get in Romans. Let's go to Romans, the third. I think I'm going to start in that 12th chapter. In Romans, the 12th chapter, I am going to be able to go in Romans, the 12th chapter. Because that's what I've been trying to get all night. But anyway, in Romans, the 12th chapter, in that first verse, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. Well, how I cannot be? By renewing my mind and beginning to meditate. And the Bible said we have the mind of Christ. That's why you find yourself, once you get born, you want to do what's right. That's why, I don't know about you, I've had David's experience many times. When David had the opportunity to get back at King Saul, when Saul was pursuing David, and when David, the men that helped him tried to persuade David. Now, if Saul in your head, go on and mistreat him. But when David decided to do that, God bricked his heart. It was a strong conviction came to him. Don't mess with it. And see, there too again, when the Holy Spirit come in us, if we listen at the Holy Spirit, he going to convict us or let us. Here's the difference between convicting and condemning. Now, the devil will condemn us. Yeah, ain't this amazing? He'll get us to obey our flesh and do what he wants, and then he'll torment you about what you done did. That's not God. God, the Holy Spirit, convict us. He don't condemn us. Hear me, he don't condemn you. The enemy will make you feel guilty when you don't miss God. I had to learn this a lot of time after I don't minister. I went through this and I had to learn this. The enemy, you didn't say this. You shouldn't say this. You didn't say enough of this. He'd be just trying to torment me with that. And I had to learn. That ain't God. God ain't trying to torment me. God don't condemn me. Make me feel guilty. And I send somebody out there now. You done experienced this, you know. Don't let God do not condemn you. God don't make you be feeling guilty. God don't come to discourage us and make us be disappointed. That's the enemy doing that. You need to cast that thing down. But as I stated, Apostle Paul was saying that we don't need to be conformed to this world, but we need to be renewed. Come on. But he said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see that? And like I said, some people might say, Prophet Miller, I already know that. Yeah, right. But are you doing it? Have you been consistent in doing it? I can tell good when Ann Flesh want to take over. I can tell when I ain't spend enough time in the Word. Okay, I'm going to read that same verse from the Amplified. I'm going to start at the first verse, and I'm going to read the first two verses. And it said, I appeal to you, therefore, brother, and beg of you, in view of all, the mercy of God, to make a decision, dedication of your body, present all your members and faculty as a living sacrifice, wholly devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after adapting to its external sufficiency, custom, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Are you following? And he's talking about renewing your mind, but you do it with the word of God. And I'm telling you, if you ain't consistent, and if I ain't consistent in reading this word and then meditating on this word and then putting this word in the front, I find myself going back to the former way I used to live. The form of your attitude, the words, what you say. Now, old folks use this proverb, loose lips ain't ships. Now, the Bible tell us that we need to, the some say, settle watch over my mouth, keep the doors to my lips. I found out as a believer, you can't say everything that come up. or what come to your mind. You can't say it. That's why you have to really be aware of the thoughts that come. And sometimes, I know, sometimes you have to talk to yourself. I have to talk to Amy. And you ain't saying that. Especially when I experienced the rejection from people. I say, and you ain't doing that. And you going to pray for them. And I start opening my mouth and begin to pray for them. See, some people, it used to be a saying when I was a child, it's okay to talk to yourself, but don't. But they said, it's okay to talk to yourself, but don't answer yourself. Well, I do both. I talk to me and answer me. And according to what's written, you ain't going to do that. You ain't going to say that. No, and you're going to forgive them people. You're going to pray for them like divine. And then I have to do that because of that. It'd be such a battle, and the enemy be trying to torment me, and my emotion want to get with you. And what they said and the voice of how they said it. You haven't allowed, you haven't experienced when the enemy want to take you back through a hard time in your life, when people mistreat you and talk about you. Yeah, he'll try to take you right back there. You remember they said this. Remember they said this. Remember they did that. And he'll even get so bad. I don't know about you. It seems like I can feel it. I can experience the pain that I had. And I know we ain't going, that ain't God. God don't work that way. But see, there too again, that's why it's so important. I'm telling you, if your spirit is weak, that's a sign you ain't been continuing in renewing your mind and meditating on the word and doing it. You allow your flesh to dominate too much. I remember the late Kenny Hagin Sr., he blessed me, and I'm quoting the right one of the books I read of him. He was saying that Pepsi Cola used to have would control him. He said he just had to have him a Pepsi Cola every day. Sometime after he'd be off and drink. And he said, I had to let my flesh know you ain't going to dominate me. And y'all listen, this is real. Some saints is flesh-led, if they tell the truth about it. As Paul said, they carnal-minded Christians. Are you hearing me? They carnal-minded Christians. We don't want nobody to tell it. If you in Christ and you always find yourself, it's old folks that wear your feelings, you allow your flesh to dominate you. When you guys say, I'm being repetitious, when you and I guys say, we still have the flesh to deal with. And see, you know, I got grandchildren, and sometimes I can tell when they're dealing. I've been writing that flesh. I'm going to read this footnote from my Open Study Bible. It said, we must realize that the present world system is evil and under the rule of Satan. We must stand against the prevailing and popular form of the spirit of this world, proclaiming instead the eternal truth and righteousness standards of God's word for Christ's sake. We must despise what is evil, love what is righteous, and refuse to yield to the various type of worldliness and consulates around the church, such as greed, selfishness, humanistic, thinking, political, maneuvering for power, envy, hate, revenge, impurity, filthy language, ungodly entertainment, immodesty, immorality, drugs, alcohol, and worldly compassion. We must have our mind conformed to God's way of thinking and reading and meditating on the word. This must be our plan and our number one goal. Well, my time is out. Well, we have to pick up. Listen, we'll pick up in Romans the 14th Monday, if it's the Lord will. We'll pick up there because, like I said, I'm feeling led to talk about our attitude, our conduct, how saints is responding, how the way God would have us to respond. And I pray right now, Father, it's in the master's name of Jesus. I thank you for your word. I thank you for bringing enlightenment and understanding to us. And Father, I ask you to forgive us when we allow our flesh to dominate, the lust and the desires of the flesh to dominate us and not allow ourselves to be yielded and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. Father, we thank you for it. And Father, for that one that don't know you, I pray, God, that they will humble themselves and cry, say, I need a Savior. and asked Jesus to save them as a sinner, that they believed that Jesus, the Son of God, that he died on the cross and he was raised for them to receive him as their Lord and Savior. And Father, I even pray we repent again to the Holy Spirit for grieving and quenching him by allowing our flesh to dominate us instead of totally submitting to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle William Ann Miller. I know and I trust the word was a blessing because, as I stated, it also, when I give message like this, it comes to renew me. It strengthened me again, remind me of what I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian. I'm telling you, it's so important that we need to be steadfast in the faith. As Paul was saying in Galatians 5, in the first, we need to be steadfast in the liberty that God free and deliver us from. And the only way we're going to do that, we got to continue to renew our mind, meditate, and line up with it. Again, this was Apostle William Miller. Enjoy the rest of your evening.